Transport DM, welcome DG and your team. We've just concluded now with the Auditor General briefing us about the audit outcomes of the department and the entities, basically the entire portfolio of higher education and training, the universities, the TVS, the CITAS, and the department. So we said we feel quite empowered to then interrogate the annual report, especially as it relates to the financial part, of course, the performance information as well, as it is also audited. So we are ready now to proceed. Maybe I must just bring to the attention of the members that the colloquium that was planned for Thursday has been postponed to the 6th of November. As you know, that we were supposed to discuss funding of post-school education. So we were supposed to deal with the funding in its entirety, student financing or student funding, funding for infrastructure in the TVET, in universities, in community or in CETs, and all of that. So we have decided to postpone that because the program of Parliament has changed. The programming committee of Parliament has decided that the questions to the Deputy President must be scheduled for Thursday. And as a result, all committees are supposed to adjust their programs accordingly. So we couldn't adjust ours. And also there will be party caucuses. All political parties will be allowed to have their own caucuses on Thursday. So the whole of Thursday is off for the committee. So we'll see each other on the 6th. I know the department has also been asked to make some presentations on one or two areas. I hope you are ready, DG, and the team that you are working with. We wrote to National Treasury asking them to come and talk to us about the fiscal space that is available to fund post-school education. So it was that, and we also asked them to tell us about the projections over the MTEF period. So they said they are not able to do that. The department must prepare that for us. I don't know how is the department going to reflect on the fiscal constraints that are there, because it is only National Treasury that has got sight of that environment, because it's entirely within their control. But anyway, I'm digressing now. I'm talking about the colloquium now, before we even go to the colloquium. So today is the day for the annual report of the department. We are going to hand over to the Deputy Minister, make some remarks, and then hand over probably to the DG to take us through. Dear.
Thank you, Chairperson, and also let me extend greetings to members of the Portfolio Committee. we are welcoming the opportunity to present the annual report of the Department of Higher Education and Training. And we must say that this report in particular also comes in as we were observing the 25th anniversary of our democracy. So it's been quite an exciting journey in both finalizing the report for the year, but also contributing to the country's report for the 25th anniversary of our democracy. But secondly, what I think we should also highlight is the fact that this is the 10th year since the Department of Education was split into two to form the Department of Basic Education and Training, and also the Department of Basic Education and the Department of Higher Education and Training. And we're hoping, we will obviously trace that 10-year journey with time, just to indicate the impact of the decision of splitting the two departments. But we value today's engagement because it obviously gives us an opportunity to show the progress that we've made since 2013, when we introduced the white paper on school education and training on an annual basis. And we think the first achievement of note is the fact that we have achieved an unqualified audit report since the establishment of the department, an indication of the dedication and commitment of the department in promoting clean administration regarding our activity. We've also seen, Chairperson and members, a significant improvement and also positive impact on the post-school education and training system linked to financial allocation received for fee-free education for qualifying students. The start in 2018 was not without its problems and challenges, and therefore we focus most of the 2018-2019 year to ensure that we fix that, and despite the earlier discussion we've had on the NSFAS and the issues with the AG, we think that we have turned the tide as it relates to the NSFAS, its financial management, and also getting people to account for some of their actions from the past. There's been more funding for TVET college sector, and most of that obviously directed towards infrastructure development in the TVET sector. And we think we're making progress in that area, in changing the face of our TVET colleges. We've implemented, which we think is a major highlight for the TVET sector for this year under review, the Centers of Specialization, which will become a building block for TVET colleges to be institutions of choice. We've also seen an increase in the number of graduates from our universities of about 5%, and also the research output from the universities also increased from 7,230 publications to about 18,872. There are still challenges with our community education and training sector, but we are giving it much attention because we see it as an intervention, particularly for young people who are not in education or employment, not in employment or educational training facility. So those are some of the highlights, and would really like to thank the Portfolio Committee for giving us this opportunity to present the report. The DG will present the finer details, but if we could be allowed, Chairperson, some few minutes, if the members of the delegation, starting with the DG, could introduce themselves so that we know who we have as part of the team. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, dear. Maybe let's do that introduction. Well, the DG, we know. We start from here. And then right through the back.
Good morning, members. My name is Reinet Mgiba. I'm in the Department of Higher Education Training, Planning Branch.
What are you doing there?
Sorry, Chairperson. I'm responsible for strategic planning. I'm a director. Thanks.
Thank you.
Good morning, Chairperson. My name is Harshila Narsi, and I'm the acting DDG for the planning branch. And our responsibility is policy, planning, and legal services, and a range of other matters that cut across the work of the department. Thank you.
Thank you. You want to introduce yourself, DG? You can do that. All right.
Good morning, Chairperson and members of the committee. The name is Faisal Tofi. I'm a Chief Director in the Office of the DG.
Faisal Tofi.
Good morning, members.
Just switch on the mic.
Good afternoon.
Why don't we start it from there? Okay. The lady doesn't want to introduce us. It's not part of the departmental delegation.
Apologies, Chairperson. I didn't realize you were referring to me. I'm Nomkhosi Peter from the Department of Science and Innovation, Director of Strategy and Planning.
Oh, okay. All right.
Good afternoon, members. My name is Zirky Burr. I'm Chief Director for Financial Planning in the TVET branch, DHET.
Morning, Robin Chairperson, members. Tien Stradu, Chief Financial Officer for the department.
Good afternoon, members. My name is Seba Swaratle from the Department of Higher Education and Training, Director of Budget Planning from the Community Education and Training Branch. Thank you.
Good afternoon, members. My name is Esther Kodisang. I am from the Community Education and Training Branch, Director responsible for Institutional Support and Governance and Management Support.
Good morning, Chairperson, members, and the rest of the people in the room. The name is Mvuyisi Maqigama in the Department of Higher Education and Training, responsible for the National Skills Fund. Thank you.
So what are you, the National Skills
Fund? Executive Officer. Thanks.
Switch on the mic. It's not working. Oh, it is
there,
working.
It's working. Sorry. Good morning, Chair and Honourable Members. My name is Diane Parker. I'm the DDG for University Education in the Department of Higher Education and Training.
Good morning, Honourable Chairperson, Deputy Minister of Higher Education, Science and Technology, Honourable Members and colleagues. I'm Zugile Christopher Mosesheba from VALO. Are responsible for skills development in the Department of Higher Education and Training.
What's your responsibility there? What's your designation?
Yes, DDG responsible for skills development.
Thank you very much. We always prefer the position you have been appointed to, you know, that I'm the DDG, I'm the chief director, I'm the director, Director General. The ranking is almost like, I think it's taking a cue from the military, as general. Director General. What is the other general there? Yeah, but it's a ranking, you know. It's a bureaucracy. It's like that. It's the top. Just comes like that. So you must fit in that somewhere there. Okay, DG, so can you talk to us?
Thank you, Chair. Honorable members, Deputy Minister, my colleagues in the department, officials from the ADSA, and everybody in the house. Chair, it is my pleasure to present the annual report to the Portfolio Committee in respect to 2018-19 financial year. The report will be looking at program performance on predetermined objectives in respect to the work that the department is doing. It will also be looking at the financial information broken down into various subheadings. We'll get into that. Slide 3. For the financial year ending 31st March 2019, the department had committed in its annual report to plan to facilitate implementation of the steering mechanism that the department has been developing over the past 5 years in its strat plan, to undertake various interventions to address the challenges of the PSET system as a whole. So the annual report therefore reflects the work of the department on its oversight of program implementation during the 2018-19 financial year. The focus of oversight was mainly on the utilization of funds at an institutional level. That refers to universities as well as TVET colleges in the main. Identifying challenges and areas that need improvement and or intervention. In the main, we focus on teaching and learning support, institutional governance, infrastructure development, and maintenance. Various oversight reports have been produced as planned by the department. So on the financial health of our institutions, universities are required to submit annual reports by July each year in terms of the reporting regulations published under the Higher Education Act. As we interrogate the reports, a critical aspect of the analysis is the financial health of the system against a set of indicators that applies to each and every institution in the system. The purpose, therefore, is to identify institutions that are requiring support or intervention of one form or the other. So the annual financial health report provides insight into the financing and sustainability of institutions and the sector as a whole. Now, in respect to the infrastructure development and maintenance check, with regard to universities, a grant on infrastructure and efficiency was introduced in 2007-08 financial year. And to date, the amount that has been spent in the system is just over, that is universities, is just over 28 billion. So the allocation in 3-year funding cycles to support infrastructure development plans, utilization of funds is monitored, and progress with respect to infrastructure development of the system is assessed and reported annually. With regard to TVET colleges, a new infrastructure grant has been introduced, just amounting to about 1.3 billion. nothing compared to what the universities are getting. And it's quite important to underscore this point because it determines the amount of work that we will be able to do in the TVET College space. And members would recall that when we're tabling the budget of the department earlier on, we explained to this committee that the overall budget of the department is around 108 billion, of which 82% of that amount is transferred to universities. That is around 78 billion. So TVET colleges are getting only around 12 billion. CET colleges, 2.3 billion. It's important to underscore this point because it relates to the question of how then would the expected performance in all areas of training would be in each and every sector, that is universities, TVET colleges, in terms of comparing expenditure, that is money that are made available to carry through the activities of each of these sector, 78 billion against 12 billion. Now, the rollout plan for the construction of new college campuses is being implemented in various provinces. Because what we have done when we received this money, and it's the first of its kind, the last recapitalization for TVET colleges, it was in 2007, they got about 3 billion. So the infrastructure funding, it was the first time this financial year of 1.3 billion at the start. Now it comes against the background where colleges do not have capacity and capabilities to manage infrastructure rollout programs in the system as a whole. We then had to improvise by creating a support structure through arrangement with one of the colleges where employment on contract basis of engineers, quantity surveyors, architects to assist the monitoring, evaluation and support of TVET colleges to work out infrastructure maintenance plans as well as infrastructure rollout and also build capacity in terms of human resources by appointing project managers at a college level so that we can put into fruition the utilization of these funds when they are rolled out to these institutions. So the maintenance of infrastructure at college level is managed in terms of coasted maintenance plans. Slide 6, Chair. Annually, the department evaluates research outputs of universities against the research output policy. The implementation of the policy has resulted in improvements year on year with respect to the quantity of research outputs in the system. The focus going forward will be on improving the processes of evaluation and the quality of outputs thereof. In respect to transformation as part of the Staffing South Africa's Universities Framework, the department is implementing a comprehensive program to transform and develop university staff. The program that is key in driving this process is University Capacity Development Program, which is training at doctoral, master's, as well as professorate level so that we can be able to improve representativity in the system. We report annually on progress, development, and challenges that we come across in the process. Slide 7, Chair. In total, there were 110 targets in the 2018-19 financial year. 75 were the direct outputs of the department, of which 95%, that is 71, have been achieved. Three of the four targets that were not achieved are in program one and the other in program three. 35 were system outputs. That is what individual institutions, universities in this case, do and produce. And it relates to access, success, transformation, and other systemic areas of strategic interest to the department. Only 46%, that is 16 of the system targets, have been achieved. And it varies by institution. The stronger governance, management, administration, and capabilities to offer programs, that is teaching, learning, research in an institution, the better performance that is derived. But where some institutions have challenges in respect to governance, management, as well as teaching, learning and research performance is quite a bit of a challenge. I won't be naming any institution. Overall, 79%, that is 87 of the 110 targets, have been achieved. That is both departmental as well as system targets, as I indicated earlier on. Chair, you will recall that we were also requested to reflect on the performance of the first quarter of 2019-20 financial year. In this respect, there are 61 annual targets for the 2019-20 financial year, which are monitored through quarterly milestones. For the quarter ending 30th June 2019, there were 12 targets, of which 6, that is 50%, were achieved. The 12 targets are shared amongst Program 2, that is Planning, Policy and Strategy, Program 4, Technical and Vocational Education and Training, Program 5, Skills Development. Each has got outstanding 5 targets that were not achieved. Program 6, Community Education and Training, is one target there, which is outstanding. So Program 1, that is Administration, and Program 3, University Education, had no specific targets planned for the quarter as such. Now, if you look at slide 9, which is looking at Program 3 specifically, the purpose of the program is to develop and coordinate policy and regulatory frameworks for an effective and efficient university education system, and it provides financial support to universities, the National Students Financial Aid Scheme, and National Institutes for Higher Education. Over the 5-year strategic plan, a number of steering mechanisms have been developed for the entire system. The focus of the branch in 2018-19 was on implementation and oversight, monitoring and evaluation of the programs that are in place. There are 15 planned outputs of the financial year ending 31st March 2019, of which 14, that is 93%, were achieved. These are mainly oversight reports on various programs. This is covered from page 63 to 70 of the annual report, the bigger document, Chair. With regard to the current financial year, 2019-20, the branch did not have any specific APP targets to achieve for the quarter ending June 2019. Now, slide 10 is providing the list of oversight reports that have been produced in 2018-19, which would include higher education aid program, financial health of universities, the use of foundation provision grant, teaching development grant, teaching and learning development capacity improvement program, research development grant, research output. The list goes on slide 11, which is infrastructure and efficiency grant, up to 15, Chair. If you look at slide 12, the output that was not achieved is a report on the 2017 research output of 26 universities. Reason being that, whilst the report was produced It was not uploaded on the department's website as indicated in the APP. So earlier a decision was taken at the branch strategic planning session that the target should not include the uploading of the report on the website. However, this had not been carried through into the final APP. So it's an error that has happened there, Chair. The corrective action going forward that the branch will monitor progress towards the attainment of performance targets measured against the approved AAPP and ensure that they are realized in all respects. Now, looking at slide 13, it's university system performance that we spoke about earlier on. Of the 16 targets, that is 8, 50% have been achieved and is covered in the report on page 71 to 74 of the annual report. Now, if you look there on the outcome indicator, of which reasons will be elaborated later, in respect to student enrolled in the public higher education institutions, the target was 1,039,500. We managed to register 1,036,984. But let me explain here. When we develop enrollment plan with institutions, there is always a variance of 2%, either below or over the set target. So within that range of 2%, the system is still doing quite well, is accepted. So here, if you look, the variance is only about 0.24%, which is within range. So there's that variation I think we have to take into consideration of. Graduates in engineering science from universities, we have reached that target. We had 12,590. We got 12,955. Graduates in human and animal health sciences in universities, we didn't achieve that target. We missed it by just few hundred. Point number four there, graduates in natural and physical sciences from universities who have achieved that target. Five, graduates in initial teacher education from universities who have achieved that target as well. Six, doctoral graduates from universities. We have achieved that, I think, quite substantially, because we're looking at 2,965, which is over 3,000. Proportion of universities meeting standards of good governance, we've achieved that target as well. On research masters graduates, we didn't achieve the target. Success rates in universities, we didn't achieve the target. We missed it by 1 point. Higher education undergraduate success rate, that is contact, we didn't achieve it. We missed it by 1 point. Higher education undergraduate rate, distance, mainly UNISA. We missed that target as well. Point 12, universities accredited to offer TVET college lecturer qualifications. We've reached that target. So in the country, if I may just elaborate this, we never had a dedicated qualification for lecturers who are lecturing in TVET colleges. We then undertook a process of engaging with our institutions with a view of developing a qualification for lecturers who would be lecturing in the TVET college space. And they then develop programs towards that effect. So five of the institutions out of the 26 have done that and they have enrolled. University academic staff with PhD students, we've achieved that target 46%, and we're looking at getting to 75%. 14 additional first-time entrants, black and women, to the academic workforce in addition to normal replacement and plans that are there in place. The target was 100. We've tripled that one, 472, which is indicating an interest in our youth, black youth, women, in taking up positions of lecturing in the system. And I think it's a matter that is quite encouraging. 15 first-year students in foundation programs, we missed that target. This is in respect to VUT, as we currently know that they are under administration, but I'll come back to that later on. 16 eligible university students obtaining financial aid. I will explain that later over the page. That is slide 15. The students that are enrolled in higher education studies, I've explained that in respect to the variance of 2%, we're still within range, though we haven't achieved. Point two, research master's graduates. So here we're doing quite very well. It's only technicalities in respect to ministerial target in terms of the enrollment plan, which had been exceeded in 2017-18 financial year. However, the target in the ministerial statement could not be used to set the 2018-19 target, as it would not have been acceptable to set a target lower than the previous year's achievement in the 2017-18 financial year. Unfortunately, universities did not achieve the higher target in this respect. But notwithstanding this, it should be noted that the enrollment planning target was achieved in the overall. Point number three, success rates at universities. Although performance deviated from the target by 1%, it is still within the acceptable deviation, that is variance, of 2%. Higher education undergraduate success rate. Success of students in distance education program has been highlighted as a problem within the system. That is mainly UNISA. We are working quite very hard with the institution to address the challenges it is encountering in this respect. Higher education undergraduate success rate. The deviation from the performance target is also within the acceptable range of 2% in terms of the ministerial statement. In respect to foundation phase program, VUT did not meet the conditions set for their foundation programs, and therefore their enrollments had to be excluded, resulting into lower achievement as seen in the previous slide, Chair. Now, slide 16. The reasons there in respect not to achieving eligible university students obtaining financial aid. NSFAS experienced serious problems in relation to 2017-2018 funding cycle in the system, where the data discrepancies were to the extent that we're not able to make up for what number of students in the system who are qualifying for funding have been actually captured. It was then put under administration in August, towards the end of 2018. Therefore, the discrepancy you see there, when the administrator started putting systems in place to address the funding cycle of 2017, funding cycle of 2018, and also upkeeping into ensuring that the system that doesn't slide back in 2019, it's sort of giving now us almost a certain figure in respect to enrollment data in respect to students who are eligible for NSFAS in the system. I thought I needed to explain that a bit extensively. So graduate in human health and animal sciences from universities. A factor here, Chair, is relating to the recalculation of veterinary science from a 3-year degree to a 4-year degree. Then there was that lag behind to close that gap, which then caused not to get to the target as was planned, basically. Now, if we go to slide 17, Chair, here we're talking about the TVET College, whose share out of 108 billion is 12 billion against 78 billion for universities. The purpose of the program is to plan, develop, implement, monitor, maintain, and evaluate national policy programs, assessment practices, as well as systems. The focus of the branch during the year under review was on oversight monitoring of the TVET colleges system in relation to TVET college infrastructure development and maintenance, as I explained earlier on, teaching and learning support, TVET college sector performance. The branch had 25 planned outputs for the 2018-19 financial year. All have been achieved. This is covered on page 75 to 81 of the annual report. Honorable members can look at that. Performance on infrastructure. The challenge here is poor condition of TVET facilities related to repair and maintenance. Increased access required for students. It's a big challenge in the system. For 2018-19, allocation of 1.3 billion, I indicated earlier on, the allocation of the first tranche, that is April 2018, to colleges, consisted of a conditional allocation of 35%, which is an advance, where colleges were required to open dedicated bank accounts for this money, as it is ring-fenced for ease of monitoring of its utilization. And the amount is amounting to 9.1 million per TVET college. It was a standard approach for all of them. The allocation of the balance of the tranches for 2018 was made on the basis of as-is condition assessment to priority areas that have been identified in the system, of which colleges were directed to look at them. It's in respect to bulk services, statutory compliance, sanitation or ablution facilities, building repairs, and student accommodation repairs, amongst others. The allocation for the next 2 years of the MTEF was to be based on the condition assessment, which is about to commence at TVET colleges. But because of the work,
your support staff who's operating is doing sleeping on the job. Who's that? Okay. We're not following them.
Chair. My apology.
As you go to the slide, they must
Slide 18. Slide 18. Thank you very much. The targets and achievements.
Okay.
Still on slide 18.
DG, I was saying your font is very low. Some of us can't read here. Yeah? In future, please, man, give us the proper slides. I've been complaining about this thing.
The way it has been printed, sir.
Yeah, the way it has been printed.
It could have been on one.
The font is very small and can't follow. So we rely on this. So if you have somebody speaking,
we
can't follow.
No, point taken, sir. We have erred in trying to save paper. My apologies, sir. But we'll make an
okay,
reason.
Please.
Because the slide 74 No, thank you, Chair. Point taken. Point taken. Yeah, I'm battling myself. I wish I was having a better time. Targets and achievement. 5 oversight reports have been produced on the following as planned. Progress on the rollout plan for the construction of the 9 new campuses. A functioning on the already built new campuses, infrastructure maintenance. Slide 19. Slide 19 is a list of current 9 sites that are under construction. In respect to this one, Schaaf Reinet, the contract value is 108,111,000 rand. We're just giving a breakdown and the envisaged completion date, which is on the contract, which is 20th February 2020. So on the outer column, it's in respect to employment that each project has been able to create, broken down between female and male. Alwal North, the contract value is 116,928,000. It's also looked at being finished 20th February 2020. The breakdown in terms of employment, 23 females and 53 males. Tax rate is 153,383,000 contract value. We're looking at finishing at 30th April 2020. The breakdown on employment on the site is there. Mungushe, the project value, contract value is 156,217,000. The site was supposed to have been completed on the 3rd of October 2019, but it didn't happen because the contractor has asked for an extension. An extension is normally asked when there were some disruptions. It's either disruptions that are related to weather, but the common one is disruptions that are relating to interest groups who want one form of stake in the process of construction. And in some instances, through means that are not prescribed in law. And it normally delays quite a lot. I've been in quite a number of these sites trying to address the challenges that are being confronted by these communities. It's really painful when you go through it and looking at the extent of disruption. And we spend a lot of money for security than just doing work and employing, you know, other people to work on the site. Msinga, which is 0.5, the contract value is 130,304,000. We're looking at completing it, you know, 15th November 2019. 6, Grey Town, 113,648,000. We're looking at completing at 31st December 2019. Umzimkulu, 105,921,000. We're looking at finishing at 30th May 2020. Nongoma is refurbishment, but the amount is 125,872,000. We're looking at finishing 20th February 2020. Kwagqikazi, 13,648,000. We're looking at completing the project in February 17, 2020. This money, Chair, is not from the baseline, from the fiscal. This money is from National Skills Fund. But because of the demand for our youth to enroll in the TVET college sector, we had to improvise in order to provide extra capacity in order to increase enrollment and improve training of our youth in the system. And it's still explaining the amount that is made available for TVET colleges in the overall. Now, slide 20. We're explaining the challenges. Half Rainet, no challenges. Arwa North will address state spread. There's a group there which continuously disturb us. We're engaging with the municipality on an ongoing basis to solve the problem, as it is expected to trigger health and environmental issues. We're getting problems there, mainly from councillors, and you wouldn't have expected that. You would expect that you will get assistance for projects to be quickly rolled out, but in respect to state spread, it's contrary. Mungushe, no problems, resolve, Singa resolve, Great Town resolve, Umzimkulu. The contractor had to increase security on site. We're in constant contact with the forum and the relevant stakeholders to manage the situation in there. Nongoma is fine, we've resolved issues, Kwagqikazi, we've resolved issues. Slide 21, Chair. We're just showing how is it looking like if you drive past that site. Graaf-Reinet again, slide 23. Mungushe, slide 24. Stekspruit, slide 25. Great Town, slide 26. Kwagqikazi, slide 27, Singa, slide 28, Nongoma, slide 29, Umzimkulu, slide 30. We thought perhaps it would help to provide this picture so that we don't always report in words. There is something that we can show. If you go to slide 31, the performance challenges in respect to institutional support in the system. The TVET College data system compatibility between TVET MIS as well as TVET College, which impacts on the college collection, generation, and provision of quality and reliable data. So the unreliability of data in the TVET sector is quite a huge problem. So you experience that at the level of NSFAS as well as at the level of the college. So the administrator is working at improving the data reliability in this respect. There are various sources of performance data. There is a need for a single framework or model. So as data is disintegrated, the administrator is working into developing an integrated model that would integrate quite easily between what is taking place at a college level and what is taking place at NSFAS. So measurement of college council performance. Here we are working in the development of standard operating procedures that would help us to measure the performance of council in these TVET colleges so that they are compliant with what the Community Education and Training Act of 2006 as amended is prescribing for governance. We've developed policy set for their consideration to approve or amend, but it should not be of a status lesser than what is recommended to them. some colleges have progressed quite very well, but others are struggling with capacity, and at times they are not able to take decisions in respect to policies that they need to adopt as these councils. Six oversight reports have been produced as planned. That is the list, Chair, of them from the first bullet to the fifth bullet, slide 31. Slide 32 is in respect to challenges that we have identified. The question of the poor throughput rates, especially for NCV, is a concern that we are working on. Disbursement of NSFAS grants in respect to capacity at college level, as I indicated, as well as NSFAS, and disintegration or unreliability of data thereof is another challenge that we are working on together with colleges as well as NSFAS. Five oversight reports have been produced as planned: academic performance of students, student support services, teaching and learning support, throughput rate for TVET college students, SISET stakeholder engagement report. All of them were produced. The challenges, slide 33. In the TVET college space, there are seven examination sites that are conducted back-to-back annually. The Department of Basic Education is running one examination per annum. The second one is supplementary. And the subjects that get written are around 58-60. In the TVET college sector per annum, the subjects that are written are around 900. So the production of papers is a massive, massive, massive job. Seven examination cycles in a year. So examination system is outdated and unable to provide reliable and comprehensive reports. That's what we're working on with State Information Technology Agency as so the provider.
So seven cycles, how are these staggered? Is it not semester courses?
Trimester, semester, and the NCV yearly.
Okay.
It's a mix. Back to back. A certificate backlog is a challenge, but huge progress has been made. Exam irregularities, including leakages, distribution, and marking, is another challenge. Nine oversight reports have been produced as planned. The conduct of public TVET college examination centers during national examinations and assessments, which is done quarterly, eradication of certification backlog, reports are produced quarterly, but our sessions are fortnightly with UMALUSI as well as State Information Technology Agency. The implementation of the IT examination services is ongoing. Slide 34, Chair. This is in respect to the performance in the system, headcount enrollment in TVET colleges. We didn't make the target, but we'll provide the reasons later. NCV level 4 certification rate. The target is 50%. The system managed to make up for 42.8%. N3 certification rates, we achieved the target. N6 certification rates, we have achieved the target. Certificates issued to qualifying candidates within 3 months of publication. We'll provide a reason here. Point 6, public TVET colleges examination centers evaluated in conducting national examinations and assessments in compliance with the national policy is done. Point 7, qualifying TVET students obtaining NSFAS financial assistance per annum. That discrepancy is the same reason as it is applicable to universities, but I'll come back to it 8, NSFAS funded NCV obtaining qualifications within stipulated time throughput. Time, that is throughput rate. Target is 50%. What we've achieved is 31.79%. Not doing well at all there, Chair. 9, TVET institutions compliant to governance standards by 2019 and increasing every year thereafter. The target was 80%. We've achieved 66%. TVET lecturers undergoing specific hours of work in their industry for specific periods every 2 years from 2019. We're looking at least 20%. This is not a practice or a tradition in the TVET college system, but we've introduced and we've insisted quite a number of colleges have got partnership with industry to give effect to this, but thus far we're still at 8.80%. TVET students enrolled in foundation phase, we targeted 600, we managed to enroll 371%. Now, if you look to slide 35, where we are providing reasons, headcount enrollments in TVET colleges. There were fewer enrollments in respect to occupational programs. We were able to push up these enrollments, complementing the ministerial determined programs through occupational programs. So there wasn't that much uptake this time around. 0.2 NCV level certificate rate. The target was set quite ambitiously over the 5 year period. Whilst year on year there is an improvement, it has not reached the projected target as yet. 3, the certificates issued to qualifying candidates within 3 months of a publication. There was a technical error here in the method of calculation, which was based on business days. Certificates were issued within 87 days, which is within the 3 month target period. However, based on the technical description for this indicator, only refers to days, not making a distinction to normal working days, weekends and holidays. That's where the discrepancy is. But we are rectifying the matter. 4, qualifying TVET students obtaining NSFAS assistance per annum. This is similar to university. The question of the reliability of data for 2017-18 funding cycle, it was not there. We're still working on to improve it with the administrator chair. Slide 36, the funded NCV level for obtaining qualifications within stipulated time. Although the target was not achieved, significant progress regarding the throughput rate has been made quite tremendously. Further interventions such as pre-vocational learning program should continue to improve the throughput rate because it helps to prepare students for enrollment in full programs for NCV. 6, TVET institutions compliant to governance standards by 2019 and increasing every year on year. So it's a question of the capacity in some colleges and some of them not having measures in place that would enforce them to adopt the policy imperatives that were suggested to them. But we've put measures to hold them to account to the department. 7, TVET lecturers undergoing specific hours of work in their industry for specific methods, for specific periods rather, every 2 years from 2019. Some of the colleges are having memorandum of agreement or understanding with industry, but it's not at the level that we would have loved it as yet. But there is some progress in this regard because it was not happening at all before. 0.8, TVET students enrolled in foundation phase or program. The target was set at 65 enrollments per college. So there were 9 colleges that couldn't make it because they were not ready this time around to effect enrollment in this area. Now, if you look at the slide 38, so for the quarter here ending June 2019, there were 5 targets to be achieved. 2 of the targets have been achieved, which is percentage of TVET colleges compliant to approve financial governance standards, 2 percentage of TVET college maintenance expenditure achieved in terms of approved infrastructure maintenance plans. I have outlined here the challenges, which is in respect to complete or non-availability, completely off capacity in TVET college in terms of personnel. But there is some work that we have undertaken to support them to build that capacity and also lend extra support for them to finish their maintenance plan as well and as infrastructure rollout plan. So the percentage of public TVET college examination centers conducting national examinations and assessments in compliance with national policy is another area, but we have put measures to ensure that this doesn't get any default as we are preparing for the exam. The fourth point there, the period it takes to issue certificate, I've explained it earlier on, hence in respect to the normal working days were within that range. So the number of quarterly reports on the reduction of certification backlog approved, we haven't achieved that this target, though we are working on quite consistently, Chair. Now, Program 5 is skills branch. Slide 39, whose purpose is to promote and monitor the National Skills Development Strategy, develop a skills development policy and regulatory framework for an effective skills development system. For the 2018-19 financial year, there were 8 planned outputs, and all of them have been achieved. That is the implementing the National Skills Development Strategy, 4 quarterly reports have been produced, implementing the revised CETA landscape, a report has been produced, oversight on the governance of CETA, a report has been produced. Slide 39, trade test at Indlela, the design of a single national artisan development information management center system was completed as planned. Currently up and running now. Processing of trade test applications has been reduced to 40 days on average instead of the targeted 80 days. Now, 4 of the 6 system targets, which is for 2018-19 financial year, have been achieved. That is the number of web-based learning opportunities, the number of new artisan qualifications per annum. We didn't achieve that one. We'll explain later. Point 3, number of new artisan learners registered nationally per annum. We've achieved that one. National artisan learners trade test passes rate, that is including Indlela at Olifantsfontein. We didn't achieve that target. 5 national artisan learners who are employed or self-employed, we've achieved the target. 6 promotion of CETAs meeting standards of good governance, we've achieved that target. So the reasons for underperformance on the system targets. The new artisan learners qualification per annum. The smaller number of learners registered during 2015-16 financial year had an impact on the throughput, as it takes 3 years for learners to complete their studies. So the lower the number of students who have registered into the system, the lower the numbers will come out at the end. Point number two, National Artisan Learners Trade Test Pass Rate, which is including INLEL. The introduction of Artisan Recognition of Prior Learning, ARPL, has impacted on the pass rate at INLEL for the trade in which ARPL was implemented. More people had to go through ARPL prior to the trade test in 8 specific trades, but had limited impact on the pass rate, as we experienced. For the quarter ending then in June, Chair, as we are required to report on in respect to performance indicators, two of the 5 targets have been achieved as follows. An average lead time from qualifying trade test applications received until trade test is conducted, it has been achieved. Percentage of National Artisan Learners Trade Test Pass Rate, which is including INLEL, we are at 56, down by a few percentage points. Number three, a number of new artisan learners registered, that hasn't been achieved. It's quite low, rather. And the number of new artisan learners qualified per annum, we haven't achieved that one as well. The number of CETA monitoring reports, we have achieved that one. In respect to community education and training colleges, Chair, slide 44, this program is to plan, develop, implement, monitor, and maintain, and evaluate national policy, program assessment practices, and systems of community education and training in the country. The focus of the year under review was on oversight monitoring, governance, teaching and learning, city college system performance, partnership agreements, infrastructure maintenance. The 6 targeted oversight reports of the above have been produced as planned. Slide 45, the target on headcount enrollment in city colleges was not achieved, Chair. Poor advocacy, rigid program offerings, and unavailability of infrastructure have contributed to the underperformance of the sector. In respect to outcome indicator target, headcount enrollment in city colleges, we only managed 193,185. The certification rate in formal CET qualifications, we have achieved that target. Slide 47 is talking to the first quarter. For the 2019-20 financial year, the president's focus continues to be on oversight on the following: governance, teaching and learning, city college infrastructure. The branch has targeted to produce 2 consolidated reports in this area. The first report was completed during the first quarter as planned. Planning, that is program 2, which is more of a support program in the department. As the acting DDG indicated, they are there to provide strategic direction in the development, implementation, and monitoring of departmental policies and the human resource development strategy of for South Africa. It is also comprised of sub-directorates, which is planning, policy monitoring and evaluation, social inclusion and equity, international relations, legal and legislative services. There were 11 planned outputs in the 2018-19 financial year. All were achieved as planned. So the reports have been produced to inform enrollment planning and funding reports in the PSET system as a whole. skill supply demand statistics on PSET macro indicator trends, the performance against plan targets, 6 oversight reports have been produced as indicated in the following bullet points, that is slide 49. A produced status report on international relations which reflects all bilateral and multilateral agreements and conventions, developed a business case and funding model for mainstreaming career development services in order to get funding for this program. With regard to the current financial year, the branch only had one milestone to achieve in the first quarter and was achieved as required. We have gazetted a framework on gender-based violence for public comment. It was done on the 2nd of May, 2019. Program 1, this is corporate services. Slide 50, the branch provides strategic leadership, management, and support services to the department. It focuses areas, filling of vacant funded posts, improving human resource recruitment and selection process, management of disciplinary cases, management of creditor payments. So with regard to the current financial year, the branch did not have specific APP targets to achieve for the quarter ending June 2019. Performance against 2018-19 financial year targets, 7 out of 10 targets were achieved as follows. The lease department has been able to fill funded vacancies, 93.8% of funded vacancies were filled as planned. Network connectivity uptime has been at 99.5% achieved. The department received an unqualified audit opinion from the Auditor General of South Africa as planned, developed and implemented a remedial plan on audit findings of the previous financial year, report on the corporate governance of ICT policy framework, ICT procurement plan for 2019-20 was developed. 3 of the 10 targets were not achieved. The resolving of all disciplinary cases within 90 days was only 78%. Normally here, one of the challenges is the non-availability of chairpersons, and at times, submission of sick notes by people who are to attend the disciplinary hearing. And at times, the capacity to investigate and initiate the disciplinary hearing cases, it's a challenge because we have to use officials from other government departments who are having their own responsibilities in those departments, and they would do this taking from the time they are supposed to be doing other work in other departments. But that's the policy of government, how it would actually be done. Training on investigations and the chairing of misconduct hearings is planned for rollout in the department. The percentage of invoices received from creditors paid within 30 days, only 97.96% of invoices were paid within 30 days. The reason is that there is normally non-compliance by managers in some instances, and at times incorrect information that requires referring back and verification is submitted by the provider. Those are some of the delays that we encounter. Compliance is enforced quite continuously. We want to maintain and achieve the 100% that we're supposed to achieve there. The percentage of audit issues received versus attended to. Only 60% of audit issues were attended to against the target of 100%. The reason is that audit issues at times are not reported on time, and supporting documentation is normally required, which is not provided in some instances. But this is a matter which is receiving attention. Quality control measures are put in place through interim audit to ensure compliance with the Auditor General's request, and the Chief Financial Officer is actually tasked to monitor progress in this area on an ongoing basis. The following part, Chair, is talking to finances, of which I would request the CFO to take us through with the permission of the Chair. It looks the Chair is nodding, CFO. Thank you.
Thank you, DG. Thank you, Chairperson, Honourable Members. In terms of the financial information that's included in Part E of the annual report, we have the report of the accounting officer, report of the audit committee, the report of the IG that you were briefed on this morning, the financial statements that consist of a number of statements, and then also if you look at this report and the presentation that we provide, we will just give you a brief summary of each report. We will give you a summary of the financial statements, give you some information on the action plan to improve audit findings, as well as the impacts of the financial outcome of 2018-19 in relation to our departmental operations. Now, if you look at the next slide, first of all, the report of the accounting officer, it provides a summary of the financial affairs of the department, including an overview of our significant events, key policy decisions, and spending trends. That includes the matters addressed by the relevant branch heads or by the DG now in the presentation on the performance of each branch. It also includes a narrative pertaining to services, capacity constraints, and organizational arrangements alongside corporate governance arrangements endorsed within the department. And you will have all the detail of that report from pages 150 to 174 of the annual report. In terms of the report of the audit committee expressed the committee's views on the effectiveness of internal controls within the department, the quality of reporting in terms of the PFMA, as well as the operations of internal audit and risk management. Now, based on the information in the report, the audit committee expressed its satisfaction with the unqualified audit opinion and expressed concerns of some non-compliance regarding internal controls, information technology, and performance information reporting. And I think, Chairperson, those were some of the areas also highlighted by the IG this morning. The detailed report of the audit committee is on pages 175 and 176 of the annual report. A short summary, Chairperson, Honourable Members, of the report of the Auditor General, and perhaps just to emphasise some of the matters specifically in relation to the department. First of all, the full report of the IG is page 177 to 181 of the report. The department received an unqualified opinion regarding the financial statements without material misstatements. There were, however, material findings identified by the IG. Those are in terms of the usefulness and reliability of performance information, as reported this morning on Program 3, University Education, and Program 4, Technical and Vocational Education and Training, as well as Program 6, Community Education and Training. And there were also a material finding in terms of the erroneous payments made to CET college employees. Now, if you look at the findings for programs 3 and 4, those are related mainly to the reliability of information originating from the number of students qualifying and receiving financial assistance from the National Student Financial Aid Scheme. If we look at the Program 6 finding, it is in terms of inappropriate audit evidence that did not allow the Auditor General to confirm the reported achievements. Chair, then, with reference to the material finding reported on the erroneous payments made to CET college employees, I think it's important that we also flag the information as presented on slide 59. Payments were identified by the department linked to qualification improvements. This happened during May 2018. The matter was reported and is currently under investigation by the South African Police Services in collaboration with the Hawks. Disciplinary action has already been instituted against specific employees that were identified in the meantime. The accounting officer also implemented corrective measures that included revised delegations of authority linked to these specific areas of payment. The total fraudulent payment processed amounted to 24.772 million rand. And of this amount, 12.834, just more than 50%, has already been recovered or has been opened as debt cases. But later on in the presentation, Chair, we will also just break down that amount further and provide some more detail. So the outstanding amount still to be resolved, which is linked to the current investigations that are still ongoing, is 11.938 million rand. On the next slide, Chair, if we can go over to the financial statements. First of all, the appropriation statement. It gives an indication of the department's spending against the final appropriated funds for the financial year 2018-19. In summary, Chair, we had a final appropriation for the financial year of 90.603 billion rand. That was broken up between voted funds and the direct charges. The direct charges, the amounts for the skills levy, which is paid over to the CETAS and the NSF. So voted funds amounted to 73.124 billion. While the CETA skills levy is 17.479 billion rand. Actual expenditure at the end of the financial year amounted to 90.403 billion. It resulted, Chair, in an underspending of 200.335 million rand. Now, if you look at the information in the appropriation statement, quite a number of pages which also break it down per program and per economic classification, which one can see from page 186 to 207 of the annual report. If you look at the underspending of 200 million rand Chairperson per program, first of all, just the next slide please, Greg, thank you. Program 1 administration down to program 6 community education and training. The breakdown of the underspending, the majority of the underspending under community education and training, and that is mainly related to compensation of employees, specifically as a result of compensation claims that must come from the CET college that were not received before the closure of the financial year and that could not be processed on time. Those were processed then in the 2019-20 financial year, in the beginning of the financial year. The direct charges, Chair, just to flag that specifically, the skills levy were collected in full and paid over in full to the CETAS and the NSF. In terms of the breakdown per economic classification, as you can see, the biggest portion under compensation of employees. The reasons there, as indicated, the late submission of claims that I mentioned. There were also a number of unfilled vacancies that were not filled, although the positions on the budget were provided for. They were not filled by 31 March. And then we also had some natural attrition, and obviously that resulted in some savings. Goods and services, 538,000 rand, very small, and mainly on travel and subsistence. 4.9 million in terms of transfer payments, Jefferson, there. We had favorable exchange rates by the time we paid the membership fees for the Commonwealth of Learning. And we also had some unclaimed university interest and redemption payments. And on capital equipment, we had those are like machinery and equipment used by the department, such as computers, etc., 1.8 million, mainly as a result of goods received not yet invoiced. So obviously we could not yet pay for those. Chair, on the next slide, just a further breakdown or information regarding, first of all, irregular expenditure. The irregular expenditure reported in the financial statements for 2018-19 amounts to 138.194 million rand. That's on note 25, page 236. Now, if you look at the detail of the irregular expenditure, Chair, the first item, 137.840 million rand, it is the biggest item. It's also the oldest item. This item originated since the appointment of this service provider. It was a contract that ran for 3 years, and therefore it includes all the expenditure linked to that contract. And that started in 2014-15 already. So, but we have to report still the full amount. It has not yet been condoned or written off, and there are still further investigations continuing on the matter. The other items, Chairperson, item 2 and 3, very small amounts, 96,000 and 7,000, linked to the 96,000, the appointment of a legal service provider, and item number 3, the 7,000 for catering services. Then item 4, 5, and 6 on the next slide, 18,000, 5,000, and 228,000 linked to computer maintenance. The other one on repairs of machinery, and the last one on communication services. That gives you the total of 138.194 rand. The matters are still under investigation, Chairperson. For now, most of the reports have been finalized by internal audit and will be en route to the DG soon. Item number 6 can be reported was concluded, and disciplinary process is already ongoing. So on the next slide, the fruitless and wasteful expenditure that is in connection with the 24 million rand erroneous payments of CETs. Just a little bit more detail that we already provided in the earlier slide. For now, a total amount of 11.956 is the net amount reported. Now, that amount is then for the fraudulent salary overpayments to CET College employees. As you can see there, as already indicated earlier, the corrected and refunded payments amount to 5.942 million. And the payments for which debt cases have been opened amount to 6.892 million rand. If we look on the next slide, Chair, close to the end, the improvement of audit findings, there's been a audit action plan compiled where each branch provided their comments and specific actions to be taken during the financial year to address certain control deficiencies in the audit findings. That plan has, in the meantime, been submitted to the Director General for approval. He approved, and the first report on this plan was already submitted last week on Friday, and verification process of that is currently ongoing, and it will be reported to the Minister as well as the Director General and to the Audit Committee. The first meeting of the Audit Committee where the plan and some progress on it will be discussed will be on the 25th of October. The last part, Chairperson, is just the impact on the operations of the department, a matter previously also specifically raised by the portfolio committees. If we have an underspending, do we see any impact on service delivery of the department? So, Chair, in the case of the department for 2018-19, we can report that it did not have a negative impact on the operations of the department. Firstly, Chair, because of the fact that the unspent funds were mainly because of claims not received, not paid. So in terms of the actual expenditure that had to take place, that did happen. However, Chair, we must note, if you look at the second bullet, that we actually had to implement certain measures to ensure that we do not overspend. We have a limited administrative budget, and if we did not apply strict measures, we could have easily overspent on the budget. In fact, if one look at bullet 3, the results of provisions, accruals, and commitments, and if we take all those into account, and that's also been flagged by the IG in the management report to the department, we could easily have had an overspending, which could then result in unauthorized expenditure in terms of the PFMA. The outcome of expenditure within the current economic pressures, Chair, could place similar pressures on the department for 2019-20. But once again, we already started, and it will be a continuous process to ensure that there's measures in place to prevent that we sit with an overspending at the end of the financial year. There are significant pressures still experienced by the department to manage all the additional responsibilities and functions for the TVET and CET sectors. It's been looked at carefully, also the matter of possible delegations by the accounting authority, and those are receiving continuous attention. What is difficult, Chair, is the continuous monitoring of the entire system. The Treasury Regulations 8.4 specifically requires specific measures to be taken by the department in terms of all the transfer payments being made, and that remains a very difficult situation, but is done as good as possible. Chair, that concludes the 2018-19 report. If we then look at the 2019-20 first quarter expenditure, and if you can quickly just go through those, Chair. Just a recap and an overview of the allocations of the department. Our voted funds for the year, 89.5 billion rand. The skills levy, 18.8 billion rand. If we look at the voted funds and the distribution thereof, we can see that the majority of funding goes to universities, 42 billion. Then we have NSFAS receiving 30 billion. We have public entities receiving 261 million rand. Our TVET colleges, excluding the compensation of employees of the TVET college staff, which is 5.5 billion. Then our CET colleges, also excluding compensation, 149 million. Other transfer payments, such as the Commonwealth of Learning membership fee, 77 million. Our compensation of employees, 9.7 billion, and then we have 72 million rands worth of earmarked funds, which includes the rental payments and municipal rates and taxes of our buildings, and then lastly, operational costs, 600 million rand.
For the first quarter, Chair, we had total drawings from the Exchequer, from National Treasury, amounting to 46 billion rand. Of that, we've spent 45.444 billion, resulting in an underspending for the first quarter of 793 million rand. It's well below the Treasury limit of 8%. It's only 1.7%, although it's a very big amount. And it is mainly, Chair, if we look at the four big reasons, delayed earmarked grants to universities. This is due to delayed cash flow projections and due to new reporting requirements that the branch instituted in this financial year. There were also some projections of skills levies that exceeded the actual payments made. The compensation of employees, where there were some unfilled vacancies, as well as goods and services and equipment, where we had outstanding invoices. On the next slide, Chairperson, still as we know, university education remains the biggest spending program. For now, we've spent already 37 at the end of the first quarter, 37.385 billion rand on them, followed by TVET colleges at 2.8 billion and CET colleges that stood at 600 million rand. Transfer payments, 43.189 billion and compensation of employees, 2.1 billion are the biggest spending items on the budget. If you look at transfer payments, Chair, all block grant subsidy payments to universities, our TVET colleges and the public entities are on schedule, has been paid according to the planned program, and there is a short breakdown of those. You will see that by the end of the first quarter, 50% of the university subsidies were paid. The National Student Financial Aid Scheme received 52%. The majority of the entities, 25%, equal to a quarter at that stage. And in terms of the TVET subsidies, close to a quarter, and our CET subsidies already 50%. Based on the plans of the CET branch, bigger amounts were transferred in the first quarter already, as this was the first year that they received their full transfers, and that was to support them additionally on that specifically. On the next slide, Chairperson, and the slide thereafter, I'm not going to go through the detail. It's just a reflection of the information per program as well as the information per economic classification showing the result of the end of the first quarter. Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay, thank you very much. That was quite detailed and very long. So I think it requires some body break. I saw some food coming in. So let's break for lunch. It's now, say, 20 past one. Can we be back by 2 o'clock? Then we'll take questions, comments, the department will respond, and we'll be done. So we should be done by 4 o'clock. Okay, let's break until 2 o'clock.